Hey, legends, you know, none of our interviews or episodes ever date, ever. They are all timeless and ready for you for when you're ready to listen. Download the lot and rip in. This episode is proudly presented by Oxworks, Australia's largest family-owned fencing supplier and manufacturer. Your local Oxworks offers an extensive range of top-quality fencing solutions, glass and aluminium pool fencing, genuine colour-bond steel fencing, slat fencing and laser-cut screens, custom architectural panels and gates. They've got it. No matter if you're a DIY enthusiast or the experienced trade customer, Oxworks has you covered. Shop and browse through the hundreds of quality products online at oxworks.com.au. Even better, visit one of their stores in Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, or WA. Thanks, Oxworks, for your awesome support. Here we go on another episode of Dream Team on Andy Raymond Unfiltered. We've got a belter for you today. Another premiership winner has dropped in to play coach and deliver his dream team in a career of 249 NRL games and 15 tests for his country. Dean Halitau has carved a wonderful reputation on and off the field, and he's now absolutely killing it in his role with ABC Radio. Dino joins us. How are you, legend?
I'm good, thanks, Andy. Thanks for having me on, mate. I've been looking forward to this chat, so I appreciate the call.
My pleasure, mate. First up, 249 games, one short. Now, for whatever reason, we celebrate these milestones really big in the modern era. One short of 250. Pissed off to get so close, or it doesn't matter?
No, it's funny. Obviously, you can look back and say 249 is pretty awesome, and I'm definitely happy with that.
But 100%.
Yeah, one shy is a bit of a gag that a few of my mates sort of run with me, and also John Skandalis. So John Skandalis has been working at the Tigers since I finished up my last few years there and obviously finished playing, and he's still there. Scando finished on 249 NRL games as well. So he always digs me about it because we had a chance to make the finals in my last year.
Yeah.
We had to beat Canberra in the last round at Leichhardt Oval. It was all set up. Beautiful Sunday afternoon at Leichhardt Oval. And we beat them. We were in the semis, and we got touched up, like well and truly towed up. And Scando, as a Tigers man, was disappointed with the result, but he couldn't help but have a laugh at my expense for missing out on 250. So, it would have been nice to tick it over. But anyway, that's the way it happens. Another part of that too, I played every game that year bar round one
because
I carried a suspension over. I had a suspension from the year before. And at the time, the judiciary and match review person that was in charge, or secretary that was looking after that process, was Mark Buckets O'Neill.
One of your mates.
So, I've been dudded by Buckets, and then Scando laid the knife in after it.
Oh, two good mates. What about them? You retired at the end of 2016, as you just said. Does it feel like yesterday, mate, or does it feel like a lifetime ago?
It does feel like a lifetime ago, to be honest. I can clearly remember my last game, as I just described there, and definitely my career. But you kind of go through that period after finishing your career where you're adjusting to what life without the game as a player is. And, that for some it takes a little longer. For others, it's a bit shorter. But there's definitely something you have to go through. And once you sort of get through that initial period of letting go of the game you participated in, then you sort of start to look at other things. And, luckily for me, that it wasn't a drawn-out process. And now that I'm, 7 years retired, it's a distant memory.
I mentioned in retirement ABC Radio that you don't have a bigger fan than me. You are one of very few ex-players that reads the game very well but just doesn't return to those tired old cliches that we hear after about round 13 when a lot of commentators just start regurgitating the same lines. Are you enjoying that involvement in the game, and does it still sort of keep you in touch with everything?
It does. Like, I love it's a pretty good gig that I get to sit there, watch the game and talk about it and give my views on, as you say, what I'm seeing and try and relate to that as a player. Mm. And get called an expert, although, you know, it's like, yeah, I don't think that I'm an expert, but I've certainly got an opinion on how I think things are going. So, I really enjoy the ABC work. They're a great crew to work with. Andrew Moore recruited me like just randomly. I got a call at the end of 2016. I was working in my new role at the time. I actually work at the NRL, and I have done since I've finished, but my initial role at the NRL, I got this random call from Maury saying, "Hey, you know, have you ever thought of, or would you be interested in commentating on the radio?" And of course I said, "Yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot, you know, like I'd love to do it." And I hadn't thought of it at all. And then, yeah, that was it. He goes, "Well, mate, we'd love to have you on for, you know, two, maybe three or more games a weekend. We've got a smallish crew at the time. Bobcat was on air with him at the time. He was about to move up to Newcastle, so he was having a change in his life, and they thought they could spread a few more games around." And he gave me a run. First one was the 2017 All-Stars match up at Newcastle. Yep. Did a bit of a trial run, and that was basically it. So it's like I said, for those first few years on the sideline watching footy, getting paid to sit on the sideline and talk about the game that I love, and actually grow a different appreciation for the game as well while I was sitting there watching, was a great experience.
Mate, you played with plenty of great players. How did you go compiling a dream team? Was it easy or not so?
Well, I didn't want to go down the track of guys that I've played with because I'd leave someone out and offend someone, or more than one, I would say. So I've gone for a dream team of guys that I didn't get to play with. And it's scattered, like it's probably a little bit random, but I think I've got a decent team. So I'll start with the number one. I'm going to go with Billy Slater, fullback. Or unless you want to ask me to go through it, or
no, Billy Slater, mate, and he's a pretty common one, to be honest. Him and Cameron Smith probably more starts. Well, definitely Cameron more starts than anyone, but Billy was something special, wasn't he? He really was.
Yeah. He was an athlete that he looked like he worked very hard on refining parts of his game that turned him into a superstar fullback, and I got a lot of respect for that. My wingers, Semi Radradra from the Eels. He's a demon. Continues to be a demon in rugby, and I would have loved to have turned around and seen him carrying the ball back, and knowing that you didn't have to run back as far.
Yeah,
to start yourself off. On the other wing, a guy that I crossed over and never played with, Lottie Takiri, another Fijian. Big LT, he's a guy that played through a few different changes in the way football was through some generations, played at the highest level in rugby as well. So another cross-code guy that got a lot of respect for. My centre's Steve Renoff. I've always loved – I'm not a Broncos fan at all. They've got they feature a little bit in my team, but I just love Steve Renoff and, the way that he played and just his subtlety in the way he played. He moved so well, just elusive. My other center, Mark Gasnier, I think he's sort of that first center to really show a lot of flair in our generation, I guess. A lot of players have modelled their game as a centre off of him. I think it's probably dropped away in the last couple of years in terms of that really flashy, skillful centre. Number six, I've got to go Laurie Daly.
Yeah.
Laurie Daly was one of my favourites as a kid. I loved him for the fact that he can make 40-plus tackles a game as a six or a centre and, you know, put everything into that, but then also be so silky with the ball in hand and just a great skill set. Halfback, Joey Johns. I'm sure he features pretty prominently for a lot of people. Love Joey as a player. He's a goat and good character too. Would have been a great teammate.
Hey, mate, I'm going to get you to put your coach's hat on here. Laurie Daly, centre, 5'8". But in the modern game, could we run him at 13? He's got all those skills.
He could. I think that the point I made about his defence, which he probably doesn't – I don't know if he gets talked about a lot for his defence, but he was a great defender. And the fact that he made so many tackles, he could handle it easily in the middle of the field, you know, and ball playing. Isaiah Yeo's got ball playing 13. Not the same type of frame as Laurie and definitely not – didn't move like Laurie, but – he could do 13 easy. He's a six, but he could do 13 quite easy in the modern game.
This episode is proudly presented by Oxworks, Australia's largest family-owned fencing supplier and manufacturer. Your local Oxworks offers an extensive range of top-quality fencing solutions, glass and aluminium pool fencing, genuine colour-bond steel fencing, slat fencing and laser-cut screens, custom architectural panels and gates. They've got it. No matter if you're a DIY enthusiast or the experienced trade customer, Oxworks has you covered. Shop and browse through the hundreds of quality products online at oxworks.com.au. Even better, visit one of their stores in Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, or WA. Thanks, Oxworks, for your awesome support. This is Andy Raymond, Unfiltered, the Dream Team series, sponsored by Oxworks. We've got Dean Halitau dropping his 13 on us. We've done the back line. Let's move into the forwards, Dino.
And my two front rowers, as I mentioned, the Brisbane players, I've gone with Shane Webke and Petro Sivanaseva as my two up front. I got to play against him a few times early in my career, and what a handful he was, and he just never stopped. And then, you know, Big Pet, I've got a lot of respect for the man. He's a very well-liked guy in rugby league. Every team that he's played at, all the teammates he's had speak so highly of him. Again, hard as a rock. Having to tackle him, I've had a few test matches against him. If you look over to the Kiwi defensive line and I'm standing in the middle, I know where he's going, and he took me on quite a few times. So that was painful but enjoyable. Cameron Smith. Obviously, you mentioned it before. Just a guy that probably played the game as easy as I've seen anyone play the game.
Yep.
Just knows his way around the field and great skill set. And he's a good fella too. I've crossed paths with him a few times, and he's a good time guy, I think. He's a fun guy to be around and good to chat to. My back rowers, the Beaver, Steve Menzies. Love Beaver. For a whole lot of my first ever game in first grade, I tackled Steve Menzies. That was my my one highlight from that game. And then other back rower, Luke Lewis, who I've worked with on the ABC. Louis just a very skillful big man. Bigger than you think when you see him up close.
He is one of those guys, a bit like Mark Gasnier, a bit like Braith Anasta. You get up close to them and you go, whoa, you are a unit.
Yeah. Yeah, and he trained so hard, Louis. I spent a bit of time training with him over the last few years, and man, he's massive now. He's like really gotten into trying to shape himself into this big human.
We've just gone summer, mate, and looking at Luke Lewis's Instagram, hates getting the shirt off as a result, Louis.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't mind either if I had that frame. But and my number 13, Ali Lawatiti. I've put him in number 13. He played mostly back row, but I had to find spot for him because, again, one of the most skillful big men that I've seen play the game. I think he left the NRL too early, in my opinion. He had a successful career over in the Super League, definitely. But watching him run around with that ball in his hand like it was a tennis ball and just throw all sorts of offloads, big frame, great speed, just a handful.
You played a lot of your career at lock forward, mate. Geez, the job requirements or the job description for the 13 has changed dramatically over the last couple of years once again, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. You know, look, it's become like a real focal point for a lot of teams' attack. If you have a 13 that can be a good link man, it frees up your 6 and 7 to play either side of the field, and you use your 13 as the guy that jumps out and throws your sweep line runners, what passes out the back to your halves. You can play both halves on the same side, but just having that ability, again, Isaiah Yeo is a really good example of that, having that ability to move the ball well from first off the ruck and get it out to some space out wide for your outside backs is really key. And I think the teams that have got a lock forward that can do that generally play some really good attacking football, which is the obvious example of the Panthers.
You mentioned Ali. You selected Ali. He's different from Isaiah Yeo, who you mentioned, who is different from Cam Murray, who is different to Pat Carrigan. It's not a cookie-cutter position where everyone has to be the same. You play to your own strengths, and the coach coaches you to play to the team's strengths. There are a few different versions of the modern day 13.
Yeah, there is. There is. And like you say that about Cam Murray as well. Like he's like an odd sort of player in that he looks awkward to handle.
Yep.
So balanced in contact in particular. Like he's so balanced. He's probably not as much of a ball player as some of the other 13s, yep. but he's definitely got the ability move to an edge and do the same. He's got the late offload, but he's not a big guy. Again, you get up close to him and he's well built. Like yeah. he is a solid unit. But he's not a big guy. He's a bit more compact. Start going around the competition. Like Jake Jovovich is more of a front row type lock.
Agreed.
Like he'll just cut the ball, throw the passes if he needs to throw them, but he's got that run first kind of mentality and then just tackle nonstop. Melbourne King, Josh King, working lock forward, yeah. a spare front rower, so to speak, that type of thing. So, yeah, you're right. It's not cookie cutter. It's what suits the team best and I guess what your strengths are around that and getting the ball out.
Speaking of Isaiah, mate, I'm going to get you to look into your crystal ball. Do he and Nathan lead the Panthers to four straight this year? What are your thoughts?
Look, it's going to be another big year, I think, for the Panthers. They're going to be successful. They've shown that they've got a really solid foundation of a junior base and bringing youngsters through, and everything's just working like clockwork, right, for them at the moment or over the last few years. Even before the run of three, they were competitive for two years before that. They made a grand final. They got beat by the Storm, and the year before that, they were sort of building up. So it's not a come overnight. It's been building up, and now they've sustained it. And I think the sort of pieces they've got there at the moment, they can sustain that top performance. Broncos showed that they're close, and you know, if not, they could have got the job done on grand final day.
Yeah,
and they're like an explosive side. The Broncos, they're the closest physically I've seen to the Panthers over the last few years. That's really where I think the Panthers kind of like they stand above is that they have that intensity of the way they play from start to finish of every game. They're so physical, and I was talking to someone about this a little while ago. Like you go to any squad, any club, and there's probably like you got your super fit guys at the top. There'd be maybe you know five or six of those guys that are really super fit. Then you've got this middle pack that are really good athletes, fit, not quite that next level, but train really well, good outputs, good results, and the rest of it. Then there's a few stragglers always at every club that are got ability and skill, but you know, and they'll do the work, but they're not quite there. With the rest of them. For me, when I look at the Panthers, it looks like they're in a squad of 30 from 1 to 27 is all just supreme, like really high intense athletes. And then they've got a couple of guys that have got the ability, but you know, when I say they're stragglers, they're probably not that bad either. They seem to have such a high work rate across the board.
You're too nice a bloke, Dino. So you mentioned earlier in the interview, Scando and Buckets giving it to you. You could have just tossed them in as examples for the stragglers, Big Johnny and Big Buckets.
Buckets actually was he's someone who taught me how to work hard in the footy environment. He trained very hard, and he'd always eyeball me at the end of a session and drag me over for extras. So if I caught eyes with Buckets, I knew I was about to do some extra work. And he instilled a good work ethic on Buckets. Scando, we used to give a bit of crap to, but...
Billy Slater, Sammy Radradra, Steve Renoff, Mark Gasnier, Lottie Dakiri, Laurie Daly, Andrew John, Shane Webke, Cameron Smith once again, Petro Sivanasiva, Stephen Menzies, Luke Lewis and Ali Lauertidi. Always a pleasure chatting, mate. Keep well, enjoy the season ahead, and I'll be listening, that's for sure.
Thanks, Andy, mate. Thanks for having me on, mate.
That's it for another edition of Andy Raymond Unfiltered, the Dream Team series, sponsored by Oxworks. Check them out and support those that support us. And while you're in a good mood, reckon it's time you left that 5-star rating on your podcast app. And if you do, it's my shout at the bar. If you leave a review too, well, you can have me for the night, legend.